This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Fear not, our YouTube is back up if you had gotten booted off of that. But my question for everybody right now, who are folks more frustrated with?
Nick Harris.
I sent him a DM.
Just the fact that he's putting this information out there.
Who are folks more frustrated with right now, the Mavs or the Cowboys? I thought the Mavs were going to run away with this. But then, right before we're going to break, Nick Harris and Corey had that like mind meld going on, and he passed along this information.
So what did I tell you would be the respectful thing to do in this press conference? Let it be about Zach Martin. Walk off and talk to the media if you're going
to
do it.
And to the media's credit, that appears to be exactly what they did.
Jerry Jones stepped to the side of the table and everybody gathered round. And the first tweet from our friend Nick Harris: Jerry Jones on filling holes in the roster. I'm not looking at free agency to fill voids. Jerry Jones says there are terms and things to work through before getting Micah's deal done. He doesn't see it as something that will get in the way of free agency. I don't believe that not signing Dak or not signing Lamb hurt us in free agency last year. I feel like Kevin disagrees with that. And then Jerry Jones, you're going to love the first part of this. Draft picks this time of year are at a premium and could be used a lot more in a trade.
Okay. Actually, that I do like.
The team has the bait out on trade possibilities.
Okay, I like that too.
But we'll also wait for other teams to come to them. So we set the chum out there. Now, are they going to bite? That's what it's all about. And all the things sounded promising. And then all the things turned into, but that's what we do. So that is frustrating. I think fans loved hearing what they just heard from Zach Martin.
Agreed.
You said that line of just get behind Zach Martin, you're dead on. Just whatever he did, you do the same thing.
Yes.
And
it was delightful.
I think that the Cowboys do some things brilliantly. Some things brilliantly. Whenever you hear them talk about free agency, it's almost like a disdain for it. And that's frustrating as a fan. But yesterday, whenever Osa signed his deal, we announced the numbers. We went through the whole part of the process.
Yeah.
We loved the deal. We really liked the deal a lot.
I do like the deal.
And Kevin doesn't like deals. Most of the time,
that's a good point.
Still didn't like it. He was telling you, he's already done all the numbers.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes.
the text was loaded with people that were just like, doesn't matter. They're so jaded and so bitter about this team.
Which you do get, right?
That even when a good thing they do, they're like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And nationally, the rest of the country, media, cap experts were like, this is great. This is a home run from the Cowboys here. Different sports. But Cowboys fans are jaded, beat up, hurt. And so that's why right now, you might see Cowboys over Mavs in this conversation.
Okay, I'm really curious. And by the way, if the Cowboys are able to pull this off, that's a Herculean effort right there for what has been a disastrous run for the Dallas Mavericks. So I'll just say this. I disagree with their assertion that not re-signing Dak and not re-signing CeeDee Lamb didn't negatively impact them in free agency. All right, there's two different routes that you could go down. One, they might be right because they're like, we were never going to do any of that junk anyway.
Right.
And if that's the case, well, check and mate. You win. However, Alec.
Sorry, Medford.
You're just right in front of me.
Full name.
You're going to have to deal with this because Mike used to be right in front of me and Corey has had to deal with this for a long time. Is sometimes it feels like I'm mad at you, but I'm actually not. You're just the person in front of me. The flip side is that doesn't make any sense if you're trying to do anything in free agency. Oh, yeah, if we didn't re-sign Micah right now, that wouldn't affect us in free agency. How so?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me how having $10, $12, $14 million more in free agency does not impact your ability to go get free agents. I'll hang up and listen. Because I don't understand that whatsoever. And that drives me crazy. Now, if he fires back or if we have Steven on and he goes, you're living in an effing pipe dream because we were never going to try to go get anybody big time in free agency. Then I get it. But what I'm afraid of is this is going to be the next big announcement. Guys, we did it. We re-signed Rico Dowdle. And then the next big announcement. Guys, we did it. We re-signed. And it's going to be somebody else that you just, you're like, hey, that's great. But I don't really
Brock
care.
Brock Hoffman's back.
Yeah, Brock Hoffman's back.
And we got a guard.
And that's a move I do like.
Wanye Thomas is back.
And I love Wanye Thomas.
See, they got you.
But it just feels like the next announcement should be, hey, we got Micah Parsons done. This will now free up, again, whether you think it's going to be $8, $10, $14 million in money, whatever the case is. So now we're ready to roll. So I really just hate that they said that. The trade thing, I am very intrigued by that.
I do love the idea of we put chum in the water. I do like that idea. But at the same time, we also went and got a harpoon and we're going to attack a little bit. Like I want a little bit of that. So that's, we have some targets that we want. We didn't just throw things out there and ask, do you want to trade? We said, we want this. We're going to get it.
Yeah.
Like occasionally you have to do that. That's occasionally I want you to go, hey, you know what? Miles Garrett's a really good player. He might end up on the Eagles. How do we get this done? Let's go make it happen. Let's go make something happen instead of waiting around for somebody to steal it from us. So that's where I land there.
I'm worried that at the end of this, I'm going to feel really stupid because selectively aggressive by Steven meant with just their own guys.
Yeah, maybe so. And that seems like it's just a different set of words to describe what they do.
Yes.
The Mavericks, however, they basically dropped a nuke bomb on the entire fan base. Like that's where we are. They dropped the nuke bomb, and now we're getting the fallout from it. Now, all the rest of the things that happened since Luka are fallout from all the thing from the thing that they did that they thought was either, I don't know, going to fix the team for a championship, or I'm still not quite certain. Other than they had this idea, so that's where I still have the Mavericks over the Cowboys.
And I get it. Look, we talked about it. The best players on the Mavericks, obviously by far, Luka. You know, felt like at absolute worst, he'd go down as the second best player in franchise history. At absolute worst, and very possibly the number one. You traded him. and you traded him to a team that Dallas Mavericks fans don't care for, and you traded him for what really does feel like less than market value. He's gone forever. The centerpiece of that trade, Anthony Davis, got hurt in the first game. You have the best trio of bigs in the league, but then Gafford got hurt as well. Lively got hurt as well. He's been injured for a big chunk of the season. Hardy is out with an ankle injury right now. And how do fans cope with this? They show up at the arena or outside the arena to complain, and then the Mavericks respond by kicking fans out and then their owner talking about some nonsense that doesn't track with anybody.
Do you want a little more from John Machota on the void, on the filling the void question?
Yes. I just, the last thing I wanted to say is, from a PR perspective, I can't imagine the Mavericks having a worse 6 weeks. Like, I really can't.
Name another team.
From a sports perspective, I can't.
Like, this is amazing, too, that the Lakers are just sitting there going, "This our PR is great right now."
Yes.
Like, we traded away Anthony Davis, who people would have loved to have, and we look amazing here.
And have you seen the memes circulating now that Nico Harrison is up for GM of the year for resurrecting the Lakers?
I have seen that.
Not what you want to hear.
Yeah, no, I don't know. We have friends that have worked in sports PR. I'm gonna reach out to one of them and say, "Hey, man, like, in the world, have you ever seen a nuke like this before?" And I guarantee he's gonna say no.
It's the worst job you've ever seen somebody do.
This is from John Machota, and this is a little more on the question. Okay. He said, "I don't think aggressive is the right word. I'm not looking to at free agency as a place to fill voids." He said they think they can fill most of their voids in the draft. Okay. I agree. That's their, again, like, that is what they've done.
Yes.
And I agree that you can fill. I think in the first few rounds, you're trying to get starters. You're trying to get players. And then after that, you're hoping you can land starters. Like, that'd be awesome. But you really do want developmental pieces that are going behind the pieces you sign in free agency. Like, that's really, in my mind, you sign a few pieces in free agency to make your team better, and then you draft and develop the pieces that are going to replace them. That's how I see this thing working. They do not.
Here's my concern. I just want you to know, I wrote this down in 7 seconds, all right?
You're a fast writer.
You can make a really strong argument, and this is why, without going into any sort of depth whatsoever, that the Dallas Cowboys need a running back, a right guard, potentially a right tackle, wide receiver number two, another defensive lineman, another linebacker. That took 7 seconds, and that's just because I don't write as fast as I probably should. And the idea that you'll fill most, if not all of them, in the draft, I just don't think it's going to work, especially with the draft assets that you have. Like, if you said, we have 3 primary holes, like, we feel great about our team, then I'm like, hey, I think maybe you could fill all those holes. But if it takes me 7 seconds to write down 6, that's why I like supplementing with free agency. I'm not saying you have to go get the absolute best running back on this crap market. I'm not saying you have to go get a $20 million right guard or anything like that. You can make some of those moves so you don't get to the draft and you're like, well, we have to take a guard.
Or so you don't get to training camp and one of those things gets injured and the other one's not prepared.
That's a fair point.
To be a starter.
That is a fair point.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But as somebody texted in from the 903, do we know if the Cowboys raise ticket prices this season? Probably. That does kind of seem to be.
But people are willing to pay those.
The MO. Yeah, for the and so that's what I just don't like. So just humor me for a second.
I did hear Mavericks merchandise and parking is going to go up by 25% this week. So I'm just joking. I was just
may as well make it 30.
It felt real, didn't it?
It felt real. I was like, merchandise for who? So let's just say you were conservative in the free agent market, but you're like, you know what? I really do think we could have this guy as our starting running back. And this guy is a rotational linebacker and a rotational defensive lineman, like something like that. Then all of a sudden, are you like, hey, maybe we do feel okay at right tackle and we need to focus in on right guard and a wide receiver. That just seems so much easier to draft best player available if someone's not in your ear going, hey, don't forget, we need a guard.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of times the approach is this guy could be a backup on most teams. And you know what? We might be able to draft a guy better than him.
Or
but if you draft a guy better than him and the guy you draft gets hurt, your plan is to go with a guy that might be a backup on the rest of the teams and then pitch to us that he's going to be great because he's wearing a star on his helmet.
I don't want anyone to think that this means anything just because it's involved with this part of the conversation. DK Metcalf has requested a trade. I am not insinuating, and I'm certainly not saying
chum in the water.
That is your wide receiver, too. I specifically wanted to avoid
that. Well, the Cowboys aren't picking up to call them, though. So he's requested a trade. Now he's telling Seattle, y'all need to call around. So I like this.
Can we just throw this out there? DK Metcalf is a good player, but he's not as good as you think he is. DK Metcalf is in a group of players, and I think everybody's got it, that's not as good as you have imagined him to be in
because
the
year. Because you've seen some amazing highlights of his like physical.
Exactly.
Okay.
He is a quality player, but I think people think he's some kind of plug and play number one, and it is not true. It's just not true.
He catches just above half of the passes thrown, like 51%. Last year was 49. Now, again, Mickey will tell you, you know, who charts that and what is a success.
It's fair.
I just look at it and go, about half the time, he's not grabbing the ball and taking it. 5 touchdowns last year, 900 yards. I see what you're saying there,
Kevin.
He's
a good player. He's just not as good as you think
he's
he is.
He's not Ja'Marr Chase. He's not CeeDee Lamb.
And he's not even close.
Physically, great. If he was a possession receiver, if he was at like 65%,
yeah,
70%, I'm going, dude, that's a chain mover right there to go along with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
But that's not the game he plays.
Yeah, and I just want to throw this out there, because if you're like, oh, if you got DK Metcalf, you've got two unquestioned number ones.
You have a good number one and a good number two?
Exactly.
I think a great number one and a good number two.
I think potentially a great number two. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sorry if I offended DK Metcalf or anything. There's lots of players in football that you're like, no, that person's good. He's probably just not as good as you think he is.
He has a year left on his deal and probably going to want a new contract.
I'm sure. And he's going to want a new contract as an unquestioned one. And I do not think that is what the tape says. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's move into the expressway. We've got Texas Rangers questions and answers. More, can I convince you to start watching and loving college basketball? And Alex Ovechkin doing things for a good cause next on The Fan.
And Garcia took it down with him. Aggies come out of there with it. Salomon Washington. Nobody stops the ball. And Payne delivers a hammer.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will get to college basketball in just a few minutes. What's that?
Somebody texted in and said they just ran into Mike at HEB. And we all said that's a lie.
He won't drive.
They said
that
I
far.
Shook his hand and thanked him for his time on The Fan. And I was like, that's a lie. Mike wouldn't go to HEB. It's too far of a drive. I texted Mike, have you been to HEB today? He said, I'm there now in the wax. So he's in, yeah, the Waxahachie one. That's amazing.
Hey, will you send him a follow-up text? If he goes over to Paul's, will he get me some cookies at that dessert
shop?
Seems
like an off-air thing, Kevin.
That's a fair point. All right. Alec, we're going to start. Should we start with college basketball, even though we've been doing that at 1240? Are we going to throw people off and we need to start with Rangers?
Oh, I feel like you got to be the responsible host here and keep things okay. Consistent.
Let's go with the Rangers. I have some Rangers questions, and I hope that you guys have answers. Question number one, how confident are you in Evan Carter's ability to be a healthy everyday player this season? Now, by everyday player, I think we give some leeway there. You play 140, 145 games, like you're good to go. I'm not saying he has to play all 162, but how confident are you that Evan Carter will be a healthy everyday player this season?
Was this me or Alec that was supposed to answer?
Doesn't really matter to
all
you.
Right. that's a good point. I'm going to say, if you're looking at 140, no. 100, yeah. 100 is what I'm hoping for, okay?
So that's a no then.
Yeah. His history in the minor leagues says that he's not going to be healthy. His history in the major leagues says that he's not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
So in that window, I'm saying I don't believe it's going to happen, but he's so young and has, you know, so little time. Jared was talking about it yesterday with us. He's had such little time in the minors that you really don't know what he is.
That was a great perspective from Jared. I have to admit, I hadn't really thought about that before when you talk about, hey, you struggled against left-handed hitters, and I understand all that as well. All right, Alec, Corey's a no. Do you have confidence in everyday Evan?
I would say at this phase, yes. Okay. I'm going to lean towards that side of he hasn't played a lot just in general, like Jared was saying yesterday. The fact that he is young, as Corey just said, I think that will bode well for the right now, which I think this team is capable of winning a lot right now. Down the road, I once knew a really wise man. His name was Reginald Atatua, who always said that a trick back don't stop tricking. And I fully believe that this will, you know, probably come back around. Might not be to a major degree, but it's going to be something that's going to exist. It's going to be something that he's going to learn how to deal with. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I think this year, I think you can bank on it. A couple years from now, 2, 3, 4 years from now, you might see it kind of decline.
Question number two. Have you guys caught Alejandro Ozuna fever? Because you mentioned this earlier, Corey. Let's go to Bruce Bochy. I love the guy. He is a ball player. I love watching him, the way he plays, how he plays, the at-bats he gives you, the outfield, everything. He's really done what you're hoping to see from a young guy. What does that look like? His slash, 444, 500, 667 with three extra base hits and two stolen bases in 11 games. And I know that's a lot of numbers. I'll give you one more. His Cactus League OPS, 0.1230, which is freaking amazing. And I know the counter argument is, of course, first of all, it's spring training. Second of all, it's 11 games.
Nobody knows him.
I hear you.
Like in the spring training, nobody knows him. They're
for
like,
sure.
All right, I'm going to work on my fastball here.
For sure.
That is a fair thing.
He has been smoking the ball when he hits it. So he had 100.5 mile per hour exit velocity, double the other day, and then 109.1 exit velocity, double off of 102 mile per hour fastball.
I've watched, because I've seen Sean McFarlane post this a couple different times, and every time I watch the video, I'm like, that looked like a weak grounder. How was that 109 miles an hour? So I'm like, maybe he posted just a different one. Okay. Maybe that's what it was.
So two things have just come up. First of all, do you need to say velo instead of velocity? Second of all, is velo, exit velo a lie?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe exit velo is just a little bit different, you know?
Okay.
From the 254, that didn't sound like Bruce Bochy at all.
That's what he said. That wasn't an impersonation.
He said, let's go to Bruce Bochy. And so I definitely did think we had him on the line.
That's...
Why would I think that?
That's fair.
I, Kevin, am catching fever because of you. You were the first person to bring him up. And I was like, all right, I want to keep an eye on what he's doing. I like that this is a scrappy dude that's out there fighting for it. And he's like, look, I'm going to show him everything I can. I don't know if it's going to, you know, get him a spot on the opening day roster.
Sure.
But he definitely could be that super utility outfielder for them for sure in the regular season at some point. I have a feeling that at some point you're probably going to get that opportunity because Bochy is willing to go with a hot hand. Man, I hear that this guy's doing what we saw him doing in spring training. Let's get him back up here and let's see what he can do. So I am in on the fever of it, but I'm also understanding where this team is and what's available to them.
By the way, fair point from the 817. If it is a one, I'll own this. 1.230 OPS. Better. Alec, do you have Osuna fever?
I think I do. Just hearing Boach talk about it, even though it was actually Kevin. outside of that and being let down by that, you see some of the videos, you start to see what some of his own teammates are saying about him too. And it makes me think of like, why do you sign a guy like Jock Peterson? Because you can't teach that kind of power.
Yeah.
And when you start to see he's consistently putting together at-bats that end in 100 plus mile an hour bat to ball, whether it is a ground out, whether it is a home run, he is consistently hitting for power and he is impressing, not just hitting for power, driving up counts. All of these things are starting to formulate into what looks like what could be a major league player soon. Not exactly right now. So I'm excited for that because outside of him, the last time I was really excited for a position player like that, Wyatt Langford, obviously. After that, I don't really remember. I had kind of probably unrealistic hopes for Justin Foscue that I got let down by because he was such a powerful hitter coming out of college. Outside of that, I haven't had a position player that I've really been excited for because of the ability to hit the ball hard.
And I was just thinking with the, I don't think it's going to go this far, but with the Adolis Garcia, although we got news today, strain, not as bad as we'd been concerned. But if you ran into issues with him and you had Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, and Osuna as your outfielders, that'd be a combined outfield age of 67 for all three of them.
Feels like how old Adolis actually is, right? You know?
Oh, in your face, Adolis.
No, I'm just joking. He's got to be like 29 or...
I think he's like 32, 31. We'll figure that out. But I'm really excited. 32 to hear that you guys are excited about him as well. All right. It's probably only going to be one or the other, and in reality, it could be neither. Could you see any way Rocker and or Leiter would break camp as part of this team as relievers? Now, I know the Rangers have been hesitant to do this, so just thought I'd throw out the question, though.
I feel like with Rocker, you want to keep him stretched out as a starter because of the possibility that he's going to be in your rotation. I know Dane Dunning is showing well, and Boach is actually really excited about what he's done in his offseason, and we can probably dive into that a lot more later, too, but I feel like you still have opportunities for him as a starter based on what he's shown. Jack Leiter, they want to keep him as a starter.
For sure.
But if they find a role for him in the bullpen that can work and function, they'll do it.
And
so I don't think the either one of them. I think that Jack Leiter maybe, but I think they want to keep him as a starter.
And I think this would be a short-term move. When I say that, like, I'm not suggesting that the Rangers will be like, well, we're done with that experiment. I just wonder in the short term if they're like, you have a spot on our team right now as a reliever. Alec, what say you?
I say no to both because I think Rocker is more major league ready to start games right now.
Okay.
And I think that would be a good idea to have him make the opening day club as a starter. For Leiter, I would like for it to happen. The reason I don't, and I think they're kind of stuck on him being a starter, he even added a new pitch during spring training. He's got a new changeup that he's working on that Matt Festa taught him.
Yes.
And apparently it's really nasty. So I think the fact that he's adding to his arsenal rather than trying to focus on one thing, I think that tells me that the team's kind of relayed to him, you're going to be an everyday starter, probably in AAA. You know,
okay.
So I think he does get brought up and I think he does make plenty of starts for the major league club. I don't see him as a bullpen option this season just because I think they're like, hey, we still have time to make this work as a starter. Let's give it one last shot. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then we revisit that conversation because it would be kind of fun to have a leverage arm that does have five pitches.
And the other thing, too, is let's say one day it does come along that you do have to trade him. Trading a starter is more valuable than trading a reliever.
Sure. Oh, for sure. I like his description of Leiter, that is, of his kick change when he said, I like it. It's kind of funky where it gets up on the barrel. And I like that description. Leiter has had, and again, spring training and off season. I get if you're like, I'm not sold on that. He has had a potentially transformational offseason with adding the new pitches and also taking the advice from the pitching coaches about not amping up his velocity all the way until he gets here. Like you've already seen in some of these early appearances that he's been up 2.5 miles per hour on his peak for his fastball because of the way he staggered his workload a little bit more.
5 innings, 5 strikeouts so far. And I know like
in
most of his appearances, it's always been like, I have to strike everybody out. And maybe now he's pitching a little bit better. Like 5 strikeouts in 5 innings is good, but it felt like he was thinking I have to strike out 3 every inning.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting a little more comfortable in his own skin on the mound.
Yeah, that's, man, there is nobody that's more amped up for that first inning than Jack Leiter.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes he's really good in that first inning. Sometimes he's erratic and it gives him too many pitches.
Now, I want to skip ahead to another question. We have other questions, but I want to focus in on this one. And this time I really will play audio from Bruce Bochy. I know people are disappointed that I just read the audio before.
They just love Bruce Bochy.
This time I will go to cut 11 with Bruce Bochy. But the question is Jake Berger the easiest player on the Rangers to root for?
You know, he's such an inspiring person, how he's handled this. He flew home or to Houston for the surgery and came back. First day he comes back, he hits a home run. And he's such a great teammate, a great player, but a great family man. And, you know, we had all our prayers going with him. And thank goodness his young daughter all went well. She's doing great. She's home now. So we're happy for him.
So his daughter, Penelope... Corey, I know you know this story, but in case anybody else didn't know, Penelope was born on October 25th. She was born with Down syndrome, and that's one of the things that Jake Berger was going to change his number for the number of chromosomes that go along with that. And so like that alone, you're like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. Obviously, we do so for my possibilities, so this is an easy cause to support. And then his now 4-month-old needed open heart surgery, which I can't even imagine going through that as a parent. And we talked about a really cool thing they did inside the clubhouse was the players were all signing a blanket for baby Penelope. And then as Bochy just said, he comes back, comes out in the game, bang, home run.
That thing right there, the player signing thing, for me, any team can be like, hey, sign this for your teammate. But just for your team to think about it. And I don't know who it was, honestly. I don't know if it was Jock or I never asked.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But for them to even think about it means you matter to them. He just got here.
Yeah.
And he matters enough that they thought about doing that for him. So that tells me, I mean, we've already had conversation with him. He was phenomenal with his first interview with us. He sounded fun. He's crushes.
He's stoked to be here.
He's excited to be here. He crushes the baseball. So I think there are a lot of rootable characters on this team. I think there really are. Marcus Semien still, he's straightforward. Everything's there, but he is a very rootable four guy. Wyatt, you're rooting for him. Not a lively personality, but he's growing.
Sure.
Like I'll say this, he's got to become a good personality because he's going to be the face of the Rangers and he's going to be a successful face of it.
Can I tell you how I know he has that personality? Is because when you two Nimrods were asking him about the gravity and he goes, hey, we don't make the rules. And so so he's clearly
got the personality. He needs to do more interviews with us, obviously.
Yes, absolutely.
The other part is like Jacob deGrom doesn't do a lot of media, you know, at all.
True.
And Evaldi's got this. I'm rooting for Evaldi just as hard as I am anybody else.
For sure.
This is a team full of dudes that I really enjoy rooting for, but you're right. Jake Berger has something that you just hope, man, I hope he delivers in Dallas.
And
DFW.
And the reason why I asked about him specifically is because you're right, Corey. I'm absolutely rooting for all of the Rangers, but the rooting for Jake Berger feels like it's gone beyond my love of the Texas Rangers.
I see you.
You know?
I see you.
Alec, what say you?
It's easy for many reasons for me. One, his name is Berger. Like,
it's a good point.
That's just awesome.
We all love burgers.
Exactly. And so, like, immediately, my first thought when you trade for him is, man, that Whataburger promo night is going to be amazing when they put his name on the back of an orange and white jersey. And they did exactly that.
That's a great point.
They did exactly that, and I have to get one of those. But, two, you start to see, as he kind of gets involved at, like, Rangers Fan Fest and everything, he's really comfortable right off the bat. And you're like, okay, he's fitting into this family mold, kind of like Nathaniel Lowe did. I hate to bring him up, but, you know, he always talked about how much of a brotherhood it was. And I saw a really sad clip of him on Foul Territory yesterday saying, like, felt like the first time I had friends, you know, was with the Rangers.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems like this clubhouse is really inviting. And Jake Berger fits that mold. And then three, the whole family situation coming back and hitting a home run. This dude can hit for power, impressive power. I remember Dave Raymond with G-Bag a few weeks ago talking about, like, I think it was something north of 30 hits last year, over 100 miles per hour exit velo, because we were just talking about that, very topical. That excites me because it was something that was absent from the team, but it's just another guy that's really easy to root for, whether he's succeeding or not, just like Nathaniel Lowe. Even when he was really struggling, he had that story about his mom dealing with cancer and everybody rallied behind him. We don't care if the batting average is south of 200. We just want him to be happy. We want him to be okay. That's how I feel with Jake Berger, and he hasn't even played a regular season game yet.
The MLB Network has each team's projected home run leaders.
Okay.
Berger is the Rangers' projected home run leader with 31. He's tied with Gunnar Henderson for 11th.
Okay, man. If he pops as many home runs as Gunnar Henderson, whatever that number ends up being, I feel like that's...
Well, if he pops 31 home runs and has a 115 batting average, we might be like, was it worth it?
Man.
But if he's in the 200 range, 220, 225 range... It's like Mark McGuire out there.
Do you think Joey Gallo would be like, see, not so easy, is it? All right.
Probably.
Quick side note. We were kind of mentioning this a little bit earlier before we got to the Zach Martin presser. And again, I hope you were listening. If not, radio rewind it. It was a really effective speech. I really enjoyed it. He got right to the point. Thanks so many people. And you could tell, like, because of the inside names or different stories that he told, that like every single one of these people was really invaluable to his development as a man and as a football player. But shout out to Alex Ovechkin. He is 11 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's career NHL goal record. So he has partnered with Hockey Fights Cancer and the V Foundation for Cancer Research to launch the Great... with the number 8, because that's his number, Chase for Victory Over Cancer. And beginning with tonight's game against the Rangers, New York Rangers, Ovechkin will donate a dollar amount equal to his career goal total in for every goal he scores, and other people are encouraged to do the same. Many others are suggesting a donation of $8 to match Ovi's number. And so I just really like it that, like, this is a historical NHL achievement that we are on the brink of. And he's like, you know what? I would like to take some of that and help raise money for
maximize the platform,
research.
Maximize the opportunity. That's, I love it.
That's, it's freaking and incredible.
Just, I don't know how everybody thinks of Ovi, but I feel like he's a beloved character in hockey.
I think he's pretty, unless you're like a diehard Crosby guy and you think there has to be that rivalry, then maybe not. But otherwise, yeah.
It just, like, when they won the cup, do you remember all the places we got to see him without his shirt on, holding the... He just stood at a Nationals game with the cup over his head for three innings, just holding it above his head so everybody could see the cup is here, baby. Like, that's a dude right there that I think everybody can love watching this record go down.
You know what's really interesting about his chase for the record is Ovechkin has played in 1,471 games, and I believe Gretzky played 1,487. So
you want him to wait a little longer?
So he's within 10 goals of tying, 11 goals of breaking with 16 games, like, until he reaches Gretzky. So it's not like, well, he just played forever and that's how he was able to get it done. Like, it's pretty darn close.
It is still that line, though, of like, but also look at all Gretzky's assists. Look, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Also, this is the time that I tell you, if you took away every goal that Wayne Gretzky ever scored in the NHL, he would still be the all-time NHL points leader.
Such a weird.
Which is the craziest statistic. I kind of
They must have been terrible at hockey back in the day.
Maybe. I kind of want to talk about this someday. Does Wayne Gretzky have the biggest gap of goatness? Like, I want to talk about that someday.
Okay, because Greg Maddux... His, like, the number of players that he walked, Tony Gwynn, the number of times he walked, Hank Aaron's number about if he had, like, take away the last so many years and he still had the most of this.
So,
like,
see, but I want to just say,
like,
who is the most best at their sport compared to everybody else? All right. In the meantime, Corey, what have we been working on at this exact time this week?
Getting everybody interested in the big tournament that's coming up in a couple weeks.
You can say March Madness. Yes, this is a regular segment.
Eventually, I think big basketball is going to
come
after
talk
you.
About underdog, you're definitely going to hear me mention the big tournament or whatever. But for now, can you give me cut number six?
So much of the offense has gone through the big three. You start getting some of these other guys going. This is dangerous.
Oh! Ace Bailey!
Ace Bailey, who you brought up, from Rutgers, had an awesome reverse dunk. And it encapsulated, that one play felt like it encapsulated everything about Rutgers basketball. Ace Bailey made an incredible dunk. It's possible they could have two of the top three picks in the draft with him and Dylan Harper. However,
how did they lose 100-71?
Exactly. They lost the game by 29 points. Rutgers is 14-16 this year, and they are 7-12 in conference. So,
the fact that a team scored 100 points is insane to me.
In a college basketball game is absolutely incredible. But people were like, you got to put them in the tournament. Look at this. They got amazing players. They are not good at basketball.
I do understand that idea, though. Like, do you want eyeballs on your tournament? Eyeballs are going to be there. But if these guys are going to attract more and you're going to be like, whoa, this is the game? I get it.
Look, I would love to see those two in the tournament.
They're going
to
get blown out.
We'll probably get smoked. Yeah. Absolutely. Because their team is not very good. They have a losing record, and they could have easily two of the top 10, maybe two of the top three or four picks in the draft. But, Corey, do you remember what my game of the night was last night?
You had two.
That's true.
But the first one, I'm going to say it was Auburn and A&M.
Correct.
Was the first one.
Correct.
The second one was UT versus Mississippi State.
Which, by the way, such an important victory for
UT?
The University of Texas. They still have some ground to make up to make the tournament. But if the SEC is going to get up to 13, God forbid, 14 teams in the tournament, Texas needs to pick up some of these wins. That was a humongous win last night. And I get it. You're going to look at their conference record and say they're 6-11. There's no chance in hell they make the tournament. Disagree. I get it. Normally, I would agree. They still got a shot. Now, they need to pick up some more wins, but they still have a shot. But Texas A&M...
The rebounding won that game for them last night, for sure.
For Texas?
Yeah,
or Texas.
Okay. That was their big point.
And you can make an argument, their big point, yep. I like it. You can make an argument rebounding, more specifically physicality, was the difference for Texas A&M. Bruce Pearl, the coach for Auburn, done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, he has.
This year. He said, they just physically dominated us. They physically manhandled us. And if this team is going to continue to win, we're going to run up against teams like Texas A&M or Florida or Duke that are big and physical. Because Auburn's here for a title. They're not here to just be like, hey, what a fun season we had.
Yeah, no, you're dead on there. The way A&M came out and just popped them in the mouth real fast, like they said, hey, we're scoring. And it didn't look like Auburn was prepared to be the physical part of it. Yeah. But they didn't look like they could keep up at all to start that game. And A&M looked like they cruised from there. Kevin, that's the first time since 2006 that A&M has flooded the court after a game.
And they've never beaten a number one team in basketball.
You beat number one overall Auburn, go ahead, flood that court. I think that's perfectly okay.
Now, Jani Broome, who, if you've been listening this year, I like to call, Johnny Broome, because I just think that sounds amazing, kind of like he's a secret agent. We'll get to Max Crosby in just a second, because he signed a big old deal. Yep. He has really been in a funk in these last couple games, per his usual standard. I told you, him and Cooper Flagg are the two far and away leading candidates for National Player of the Year. And so Cooper Flagg has the advantage, in part because of these struggles and in part because Broome got hurt for just a little bit. Texas A&M is a weird team to figure out. They're having a great season. Their defense looks freaking incredible. Then they respond to that by losing four straight games. And only when they're in the midst of that losing streak is when they beat a number one team for the first time in program history.
Seems like them.
Did that? Yeah. Actually, that's a really good point. Yeah. That feels very A&M.
I found this game, this is interesting because I know the Texas and Mississippi State game went to overtime. I was a little like, all right, this game's happening.
Those teams are not as good.
I enjoyed the A&M Auburn game more. And I don't know if there was part of me that was kind of rooting for A&M because they're I guess it's just natural. I just like an underdog. Everybody loves an underdog until they become the top dog. And then you want to see them get broken down.
Exactly.
And so maybe that was me just kind of watching this last night, feeling that you were going, I don't know, man, about this team. We're playing the number one team. And I was kind of pulling for them throughout the night.
I did not think Texas A&M was going to win this game by any stretch of the imagination. All right. Are y'all enjoying our trek into college basketball?
I am.
Okay. Do you need another game for tonight?
It's not whether or not I need it.
You're going to get it.
But I want it.
Okay.
And I think there are Tolos out there that are starting to need it.
Okay. Now, I know RJ's disappointed because I did not pick Tennessee against Ole Miss.
As the game?
But keep an eye out on Tennessee for potential upset watch.
Is it Florida-Bama?
Florida and Alabama. This is going to be a great look, and I know I did SEC yesterday as well, but that SEC tournament is going to be absolutely bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great example tonight because you have two teams that are probably still angling for a number one seed, and you don't want to get a disadvantageous number two seed if that doesn't work out.
Okay, all right, that one's going on my TV tonight, okay? While I'm listening to the fan, I'm going to be watching that one tonight.
Good.
I do have a question, though, because you did mention SEC, and we've talked about SEC a couple times now. Big Ten basketball, different style? Is it like I know Big Ten football always feels like a different style, but Maryland, Michigan, should I keep an eye on this team?
It's not as different as the football style can feel at times.
Maybe like Arizona is a little bit different with their fast pace.
That is fair, but Michigan State has been on a run, man. They have that classic look of, ooh, if I am going to pick a two seed, or I know a lot could still shake out, but maybe there'll be like a two seed. Maybe somehow they could fall to a three seed. And you're like, I'm going to take a look at that team. because I think that team has an opportunity to make a run. Michigan State has really been on a roll, and that the top of the Big Ten is excellent.
Okay. All right. All right.
So keep an eye out on that as well.
We'll do.
All right. We got football news. Alec, Max Crosby is re-signing. Is that correct?
Yes, he is going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. 3 years, $106.5 million with $91.5 million guaranteed. That is coming from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
So that's $35.3 a year?
Yep.
Okay, so good news for Ja'Marr Chase. He just made more money, and I would assume good news for Mike Parsons because he just made more money. One would assume. So
thanks a lot for giving Mike ideas, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
You would have never known had you not just said that.
He's a tolo. It's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, what I meant, Micah, was you said you're going to help us out in free agency. And Jerry Jones already said some things that frustrated me this morning. So take less than 35.3 and let's get ready to roll.
Like
deal?
It. Yes.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We're going to get into some sports action right out of the gate, but 10 questions not to ask your boss at a late lunch. Ooh. Next on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.